This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Talk about when Jesus met with the rich young ruler and he listed off some of the commandments. One of them was, do you honor your father and mother? And what was the practice 2,000 years ago among some of the Israelites? They were giving what was called the korban. It's a gift that you would say, I'm going to give all my money to the church, and thus I don't have to take care of my mom and dad. And it's a way.
Exactly.
And that was a very common practice. And Jesus says, that's not the heart of the gospel. That does not bring honor and glory to the Lord. The Westminster Confession says that we are called as Christians. What's the purpose? The chief end of man of our lives is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we do that when we follow His commandments, live out a life of feeling the love of the Lord. But we can't be out there not taking care of the less fortunate. If you clothed one of these or fed one of these, you've done unto me. What is the true gospel but to take care of the widows and the orphans?
And visit me in prison.
And yes. So I pray for biblical wisdom for our nation's leaders. I truly believe God can intervene into the decisions of
can you imagine if we had a president who actually went into a prison once a month and read the scriptures?
Sure. That would be awesome.
Jimmy Carter would have been one.
I would love to have a conservative Christian president. That would be wonderful. You know, could you imagine if a pastor ran as president? That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
That would change a lot of what we do in the world. So, who knows, maybe one day. But we pray that Jesus, even when we see pain and suffering, we also have to believe that God still gets the glory at the end of the day.
Well, I don't think enough people are preaching about suffering these days.
Yeah.
Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Somebody's listening to this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going through a valley? Are you going through? First of all, we only grow in the valleys.
Mm-hmm.
We don't grow when we're on the mountaintop. We don't grow when we're fat and happy. Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It was also written he was a man well acquainted with many sorrows. We don't know from the time of 12 up until he had his ministry at 29 or 30 when he started that, what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a man acquainted with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people want to say, okay, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to tithe, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and I'm going to have a business that prospers.
There's no gospel in that.
But it rains on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The just and the unjust.
Yes.
And, you know, and so, you know.
Well, I think that's why we need stronger, faithful pastors and pulpits that preach the biblical truth.
And it depends on what you mean by strong. See, when you say strong, I say I'd rather have weaker pastors. In other words, men that know that they're hopeless, therefore they're hopeful. In other words, brokenness. I don't see enough brokenness. You know what I'm saying?
Christ came not to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
And give his life as a ransom for many.
Yeah. And it takes, now you're young and you've learned a lesson that I didn't learn. You know, how old are you, 30?
36 now.
Okay, 36. Yeah. But, you know, maybe women get this earlier on. I don't know. I haven't figured you all out. I haven't been able to figure us out. But I have found this, that if I want, like the Bible says, I think it's in Malachi. What's the last Bible of the Old Testament?
Malachi.
Okay. He says, almost 30 years, I used to end every broadcast with someone somewhere need your random act of kindness, as it is written, give unto others, your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. It's hard to remember when you're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're down in the dumps, you don't think you want to live, go find a hospital. Go to the children's unit. If you don't want to there, go to the old people's unit. Find someone who needs you.
Mm-hmm.
And your darkness will rise out of the your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun.
Yes.
So we learn, like for instance, in your life, you've adopted these children.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of liken it to this, having a puppy. If I have a puppy, and I used to come home to my puppy,
mm-hmm.
my little puppy, and I would lay on the floor, and he would just be so happy to see me and lick me. When that puppy was licking me, I call it my center of joy. At that very moment, the whole world disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, you have Robert on your lap.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about what's going on in the world? No, you're worried about the moment of taking care of Robert.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in service mode
mm-hmm.
to your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think as parents, I want him, as he, whatever he wants to do in life, I do pray that he would have the same saving relationship with Jesus that I do.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what gifts he brings to you later on. Because I hang out with some little kids, with members of the family or something, and I go, oh, I'd forgotten. They're very wise.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, I'd forgotten that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Out of the mouth of babes.
We get to be adults, and we get into a rut, or whatever it is we get into. And sometimes it takes the wisdom of a child.
Yes.
Like a little girl who was three, not five, but three, came to my mother's house years ago, Jennifer. And she opened up the closet, and she goes, oh, look at all the time in the closet. That's poetry. See all the time in the closet. And the things that have been collected and da-da-da.
But for Robert, you know, I've always read on the theology of adoption, you know, when we are, you know, when God has called us, we respond in faith, we live a life of sanctification, and all those kind of things that you might read in the books about Christian theology. And we do talk about adoption. You're not just a being with a relationship with God. You are a son of a king. You're a daughter of a king. Adoption gives you rights to your heavenly father. But now being an adoptive parent, it really transforms what I just had as head knowledge alone into this kind of heart thing. And so
reality.
There really is a unique perspective now as an adoptive parent preaching from the pulpit on people's adoptions into the family of God. And no, this adoption is a shadowy reflection of what we'll experience in heaven. It's still
so you're learning more about God's ways by being a father that's adopted children.
Yes, definitely.
You know, and you just think, this is how God thinks of me. Which again, you asked that question earlier, how does the gospel help my trauma? I now am experiencing, well, if this is how my heavenly father says he'll pick me up at my worst moment, this is the heavenly father that cares for me. Even when the world doesn't care for me, my own parents don't care for me, and my friends don't care for me, God cares for me. That's what helps me handle my trauma.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? We've heard from the guys in this room a little too much. How about you?
Yeah.
Let's hear about what are your thoughts on all this, about adopting? What do you see from a female perspective, from now being a mother, you know?
Well,
and you got a Bible verse on this.
Both of these children have new names. One, you know, her the spelling of her name changed to more traditional, and Robert, we gave him a new name. And, you know, they have a new identity, right? They have a new last name, they have a new home, they have parents. And it's so neat because it does create that real picture for us of what it's like to be a child of God, adopted into his family, and our new identity in Christ.
It sure strengthens your bond with your husband, both of you, right? Because now you've taken it to a higher level, a godly level, where you've invited these children and adopted them as your own, and now you are a family.
Mm-hmm.
You were a family when it was just the two of you,
but
isn't it far more profound?
Yes, working more as a unit together, for sure.
Yeah. What was the Bible verse you had? You saw me in this way, but then I forget if it was out of Isaiah. You put on the bathroom mirror at one point. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have taken my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
Oh.
You know, the Lord has taken... you know, us, you know, a couple who just trusted in the Lord but was hoping for children, and he's given us such greater joy through the gift of these precious children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's something else. You can try and try and try, and then you realize, you know, we don't want to be idolizing. I think we don't want to be idolizing children. We don't want to be idolizing anything that separates you from getting your fullest satisfaction in Christ Jesus.
Well, he said, anybody who puts wife or family or children or anything before me is not worthy of me.
Correct.
It took me having everybody die in my family for me to go, oh, I think I'm getting this. My mom probably was a little before God, or my stepfather or my brother or whatever, realized now I have no one. Oh, now, I don't know Jesus like I know my mom. He was never in the kitchen cooking eggs. We weren't having these conversations. I'd like to have that intimacy relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. I long for it. But he says, if you're not willing, if you have, no one has given up land or home or family on my account that won't get back 100-fold in this life and the life to come. Mm-hmm. So how do you not, you know, I've noticed that with couples, mm-hmm. that fall madly in love. Sometimes they're too much in love with each other. They idolize each other. Mm-hmm. And I see them break up. Sometimes I think, I wonder if God's hand broke them up because they were like, idolizing each like other judgment. As yeah. opposed to God.
Working in a psych hospital, I'm reminded every day of how broken our world is. And you have, you know, people who own businesses and are very successful, miserable, and without hope. And it just, you know, when we idolize anything on this world that's going to burn up, you know, it's not going to last forever. And it just reminds me of what...
Yeah, well, you see things you can't talk about. For instance, I know there was a psychiatrist who came on my show almost 30 years ago in this town. Mm-hmm. He ended up committing suicide. And he was a family man in town here, a lovely human being. Mm-hmm. And then we know recently there was a doctor. I don't know what the situation was. He was on some sort of medication, but West Town, he was a family doctor and killed himself. And everybody
sweet
said
man.
This was...
I was told.
Yeah, that's what I was... So we don't need to bring any names, but... because I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that's what you're saying, right? You're saying... You see them in there.
Right. Like, if we try to find it, even in family, as the reason for our existence, it's not going to really give us
true joy. Okay, so now, are things perfect economically in your situation? No.
No.
Right? Okay. Either are they for me. Later on in life, like I said, I just turned 70, I've realized, I swear to God, I prayed this, so much so I could almost cry now, is that I realized later in life, maybe, remember Garth Brooks? Who had the pleasure of interviewing, a very nice, humble man, by the way. Mm-hmm. He wrote that song about, sang that song about, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayer. Mm-hmm. And so when you say that, I know that, you know, did you break?
I think so. Don't worry, I'll glue it. All right.
That's my Donald
I'll
Trump.
Glue it, yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I get for giving it up.
Yeah.
And is it nice that I don't care about it?
Yeah.
I mean, Robert's much more important than that stupid thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, who cares? Although I was going to retire on that because it was a bobblehead of Trump.
Maybe signed by the man himself.
I could sell it on eBay or something.
We're going to glue it back for you.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. So what were we saying, though, that was more important is about something? Who knows?
Well, you know, we're just... Don't wrap up your identity in the things of the world, and sometimes we can idolize.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.